Hello there and welcome to a brand new episode of the All For One podcast. Another week of lockdown means another episode for you to enjoy. So today we are going to be talking to Carly Keshter. Now he is on Instagram as Mr. Keshter. He is a type 1 diabetic bodybuilder. He competes professionally and he's really making waves out there. So I spoke to him all about nutrition and type 1 diabetes and how we can be staying fit during lockdown. So your diagnosis story then, how did you find out that you had type 1 diabetes?
So it was on my 18th birthday. Before that, I used to have the typical diabetes symptoms, in which I used to lose a lot of weight. I used to be dehydrated all the time. I used to use the loo all the time as well. I used to wake up every couple of hours to use the toilet. And I once counted how many liters of water I was drinking. It was more than 14 liters a day. Wow. So we knew that something was wrong. I looked weird as well. So I lost, I can't remember how much weight I lost, but I lost a lot of weight. You can see it in my face as well. We decided that something is wrong. And then my parents are doctors. So straight away they thought, okay, it could be diabetes. Although it's unexpected because I was athletic at that time. So we went and got a blood sugar test monitor. And when I did the test, it showed an error message. But when any one of the family's member that I have did the test, it shows a value from 4 to 8, which is the normal range. And it said that if it's showing error, it means it's either broken or the values are out of range. And I think that monitor value was like from 2 to 30 something. So I went to the hospital and they checked my blood sugar levels with their big monitor, and it showed that it was 47 millimole per liter.
Wow, that's a lot.
it is a lot. Yeah, it was insane. The doctor said that if it wasn't for the amount of water that I used to drink, I would have been either dead or in a coma because the water flushes the sugar and then I urinate it out.
I think a lot of people have a similar story. I mean, mine was quite similar to that in the sense that I was all of a sudden, like yourself, very underweight, really, really thirsty, then went to the doctors and they couldn't get a reading because I was so off the charts. But that's scary, isn't it? That so many people have such a similar experience. And I guess now, during lockdown and this social distancing and quarantine that we're experiencing, that stuff could actually get quite dangerous, because if people are trying to avoid hospitals as a rule to stay away from a coronavirus or to relieve the NHS, then you know, instances like that won't be, you know, solved or won't be, you know, treated correctly, will they?
Of course. No, the thing is, to solve this issue is that people need to educate themselves. So I didn't know anything about diabetes when I had these symptoms. So if this happened now in the lockdown that I'm in, we wouldn't think about going to hospital at the start, as you said, just to avoid, you know, the corona pandemic that we're in. But there is something wrong and we have to treat it. That would be definitely very tough during that lockdown. But I mean, the people need to educate themselves. This is the only way to, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you were diagnosed, it was your 18th birthday, and you were already well into your fitness by then, weren't you? So what was that moment like when you were told that you had this long-term health condition now, which is essentially going to change every part of your life for the rest of your life?
It's funny because I wasn't even upset at that time, because the way I was before the diagnosis, this was a lot worse than being a diabetic, if you get what I mean. So you know what you went through, you said that your symptoms were losing weight, dehydration and all that. This was a lot worse than actually knowing that I'm a diabetic and taking insulin and then becoming a normal person that is insulin dependent. Because it didn't just so it obviously affected my life, but it also affected my sports. So you're mentioning my fitness career. I wasn't the same footballer at that time. Like, I was always tired, get exhausted quickly, because there's a lot of ketones in my body. I always get dehydrated while I'm playing, so something was wrong. I couldn't concentrate as well. So to me, when they found out that there was a problem, because it took us time to understand what is the problem, but once they found out that there is a problem, I was actually happy.
Great. Well, that's a real smart way to think about it. And it's so good that straight out the box you had that sort of outlook, because so many people take it as such a hit and they start panicking. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? But you were able to, you know, quite pragmatically look at it and think, okay, so there was obviously an issue beforehand. Now it's solved. I can get back to doing what I was doing before, but at 100%, whereas before you were probably, I don't know, 40, 30%.
Of course. I mean, it's all about the mentality. So you have to think about, I personally know a lot of people as a trainer, a lot of people, they with diabetes, they come to me and this is the mindset that they have. The one that you just mentioned is, my life is over. I got diagnosed as, you know, with type 1 diabetes. This means I won't be able to do what I normally do. Yes, you will have some complications, obviously, but you are in a better place than actually being, you know, a diabetic without knowing. Or you know, I'm not sure if you came across anyone like that, but some people, they refuse to admit that they have diabetes and they refuse to take insulin. Do you know that?
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy thing for some people to deal with. But I think you've just got to, I think it's all about the way that it starts for you, because like yourself, I was a little bit older than you. I was 23 when I found out that I had type 1 diabetes. I was already rolling on in, you know, achieving my goals that I'd set myself. So it didn't, you know, take the wind out of my sails. I just sort of took on an extra challenge to add to what I was already doing. And it I guess it even sort of spurred me on and gave me a reason to achieve my goals a little bit quicker. But I think if you're diagnosed, you know, in a much earlier stage, or you've lived your whole childhood being sort of maybe slightly mollycoddled by your parents, because, you know, it must be a scary thing for parents to manage too, then that must taint how you think about your diabetes. So I think in a way, me and you were a little bit lucky to be diagnosed later on in life, when we'd sort of grown a bit of, you know, sort of a thicker skin and emotional backbone, and that might have helped us not be so freaked out when we got our diagnosis. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that is true. But there is a certain, it's very subjective, because I would say if someone got diagnosed at our age, so it's good, that's fine, because as you said, you already have, you know, your skin is already thick, you've got the mindset, you already achieved what you want to achieve, or you're working, you know, towards it. But also, if you got diagnosed when you're very young, when you're a baby or so, maybe that's a good thing as well, because you can't imagine your life without insulin, without being a diabetic. Okay, what is scary is, I think, is the midpoint. So, you know, if you're in school, for example, and you got diagnosed with type 1, and then, you know, all of a sudden you start taking insulin, and you start, you know, first of all, you start losing weight and all that, and then you start taking insulin. God knows what you're going to go through. You might get bullied in school. You know what happens in school.
Yeah.
And so on. So I think it's very subjective. But of course, you know, the older you are, the more mature you are. So you're going to treat it better. You're going to have the mindset, but you'll be surprised. I get people that are in their 30s and they have, you know, the mindset of, I don't know, little kids, that they don't want to accept the fact that they got diabetes. And once I straight away tell them, okay, would you choose between diabetes or cancer, for example? And then, you know, they start thinking about it. They're like, actually, this is not very bad compared to others.
They're coming to you because they've already, I guess, made a decision that, you know, enough is enough. I need to do something about this. I can't let it be ruling my life in the way that it is. So they're already sort of making that difficult first step. And then you've got to then get them to commit to that idea, because so many people, you know, start, you know, an exercise journey, a fitness journey, and then they give up so easily because it's comfortable to stay in your lane and not change your life and carry on doing the things that you were doing. But it's your job to commit these people to changing their life and getting ultimately more healthier. So how do you do that? How do you convince people that, yes, you've made the first step, the difficult first step, but now the real work begins from now?
You said something. It's like a strategy that I use as well. You said that actually diabetes might have encouraged you to achieve what you want even more.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I use this concept for people to be proud of what they achieve. So an example is I competed. So I compete as a bodybuilder. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people in this world that have got a better body than me. They are better than me in the sport and so on, even on the stage that I'm on. But there is one thing that is unique about me when I'm on stage, is I'm the only diabetic out there.
Mm.
So I take it as a prize. So when I achieve that, when I achieve, okay, now I'm up on stage and I achieve whatever place I place, whatever ranking I place, I achieve that as a diabetic, okay? These people didn't. But diabetes is a 24/7 job, isn't it?
Mm.
This is what, you know, makes me, I don't want to, sound cocky saying this, but this is kind of what makes me unique among the people up there.
Oh, right? Absolutely,
now,
yeah.
You or anyone else, you can use that concept in your, it doesn't even have to be a sport, in your job, in your career, whatever it is, you can use that. You got a degree, okay? You finished, a 3 years engineering degree as a diabetic, right? You've got your own challenges. People don't see that. It doesn't matter, but you do. So you got to be proud of yourself, whatever it is. So this is the first concept that I talk to people about. The second thing is, what is so bad about it? Yes, of course, there are complications about diabetes. It's going to make your life a bit harder in some sense. You're going to have hypos, you're going to have hypers. You have to have your insulin, your sweets, your testing kit all the time with you. There is an extra job that you need to do, right? But again, think about others. Think about others that are in a worse situation than you. As I mentioned, someone, you know, with cancer or, you know, I don't know, no limbs or whatever it is, you are in a better situation than that. And again, then you reflect back to the first point is, if you achieve something with that so-called bad condition that you've got, it means that you achieve something that is more than a normal person would, even if it's the same thing. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Absolutely, mate. And I think, you know, you like me, is someone who doesn't try to hide the fact that they have type 1 diabetes. I like to say that I'm unashamedly diabetic, and you know, I sort of welcome people asking me about the condition, and when someone says something that's, you know, a little bit insensitive or a little bit idiotic, I will correct them in the nicest way possible. But let's talk about the bodybuilding, because you know that came after the diabetes, didn't it? That came after your diagnosis. And I know that when I got my diagnosis, I came back out of hospital, I was really, really skinny. And that was the first thing that I thought that I needed to do, was start working out and start building muscle. And I just found it the most difficult thing in the world. So my sort of exercise and stuff like that has only really started to reoccur in my life. And I'm really going for it right now. And, you know, I think I'm getting there slowly. But there's a lot of prep that goes into bodybuilding. There's a lot of, you know, control of your diet and your exercise. And like you were saying, having type 1 diabetes as well must make that just 10 times harder. So how do you do it? How are you able to balance all of these plates to ensure that you're getting to the right size, cutting down on your fat, and also sticking to a diet when some days your blood sugar is going to do whatever it wants and it's not going to care that you're trying to prep for a competition?
A lot of days, trust me, not some days, but yeah. So exercising and building muscles is a completely different thing than actually being on stage. So you mentioned that, you know, some people struggle with gaining size or cutting fat and so on. You know what is the difference between you and a normal person is your blood sugar level. So if you ensure that your blood sugar levels are in range most of the time, you can't do it all the time, but most of the times, then you are going to be reacting. Your body's going to be acting like a normal person. So you need to first understand the factors that affect your blood sugar levels. So you've got sports, you've got the food, you've got stress, you've got illness, you've got infection, you've got a lot of stuff that affect your blood sugar levels that people are not aware about. You've got physical activities. People don't know that shopping or cooking or painting or even sex, all these are actually considered as exercising. low intensity exercising that will mess up your blood sugar levels. Mm. So first of all, you got to understand the factors that affect your blood sugar levels. Now, talking about me with bodybuilding, it's a completely different game. Yes, the same concept applies of my blood sugar levels need to be stable. But when we reach, when I am close to a competition, that's when it gets severely hard, because I need to drop my carbs, depending on the person. But let's say I need to drop, let's say, to 100 grams a day or 50 grams a day. If I go through one hypo a day, this is going to consume my carbs. So as a diabetic, the difficulties that I have here is, if I am allowing a certain amount of carbs a day and I go through a hypo, which is most likely to happen because I'm exercising 3 times a day. When I'm closer to a competition, this is what I do. I exercise 3 times a day. So most likely I am going to go through a hypo. To avoid it or to treat it, I have to have some carbs, and that's it. My daily carbs are gone, so I'm not eating anything. So compared to a normal person, I am hungry. Mm. I'm very hungry. I'm struggling. I use my carb sources to eat wheat or to have a Lucozade.
Yeah.
So obviously that's the first difficulty. On a competition itself, where you need to dehydrate yourself to get the water outside of the system, this messes up your blood sugar levels and your body doesn't like it. Normally, it's unhealthy anyway. So by the way, bodybuilding is an unhealthy sport. Yeah. For anyone, not just for people with diabetes. People with diabetes, of course, it's a lot more unhealthier, but it's generally an unhealthy sport. So building your body, getting healthy and getting fit, that's one thing, but actually getting into that, you know, below 5% body fat and big size, dehydrated body, it's not right. Your body doesn't like it. And that's why you won't find a bodybuilder that looks the same on competition day on another day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's never that case, because you're only preparing for that one day. Now, anyway, back to the point. When I'm very dehydrated and I go through a hyperglycemia, because what happens on the competition day is that you have to do something called carb loading. So I don't eat any carbs a few days before it. And then I have a lot of carbs on the day with no water. And for us diabetics, this is the worst two things to do, to be honest, is to go on a hyperglycemia and to stay dehydrated. Because on a hyperglycemia, you have to drink a lot of water. And it's not always a case of injecting insulin to avoid the hyperglycemia, because your body is under severe stress. And stress induces stress hormones in the body, which elevates your blood sugar levels. It tells your liver to produce glucose in the system. So it's very hard. It's very tough. But, you know, it's doable.
Why do you put yourself through all of that?
I'll tell you how it started, actually. In October, that's when I got diagnosed as a diabetic. And then in January, and I used to play football at that time. And then once I got diagnosed and I felt better, I got back to the field and I felt great. Great. I was even better than before once my blood sugar went back in range. And then in January, I broke my knee and I ruptured my ischia. And that's it. Bye-bye football. And then I thought, and I had the operation and all that, it didn't work well. But then I thought, okay, I'm just going to work out in the gym. And that's when I started realizing, okay, my genetics actually aren't bad. So I am gaining size quickly. The shape of my body, it looks, you know, kind of athletic in a sense. And genetics does play a role here, by the way. And then later on, when people realized that I'm a diabetic in the gym, then they started asking me, why don't you compete? Just look at yourself. You already look better than other competitors out there, so why don't you give it a try? And I decided to give it a go. And I'm telling you, on the first competition I've ever done, I was going to quit so bad. And I thought, this must be retarded for anyone to go through this. And one day I literally cried. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
But I thought, it's already started. I'm going through it. Let me just finish it. And that's it. And then I agree with you. Why am I doing this? I keep on asking myself this question all the time. That's why I don't have a targeted competition that I'm going to do soon. Well, obviously, with the corona, everything is cancelled. But anyway, I wasn't planning to do any competition soon. Because it is unhealthy. Your health is more important.
Well, I mean, so the prep and things like that is unhealthy. But generally, understanding your blood sugar as well as you do and how your diabetes works in your body as well as you do and the amount of exercise that you're doing, I think ultimately you must be... you know, have a quite solid level of fitness.
No. In terms of knowledge and in terms of experience and strength and fitness levels and so on, yes, obviously something got added to that. But you can do this without stepping on stage. Stepping on stage, it's a completely different ballgame, as I said. Will I ever compete again? Of course I will. I think I will. But there is nothing anticipated now, because what my opinion is, if I am or anyone is preparing to compete, and I'm the kind of person that I like to win, so I don't want to just enter a competition and you know, just to say that I entered it, I want to win. For me to put myself through that stress again, it must be worth it. So it must be something qualifying to Mr. Olympia, for example.
So I reckon there's another aspect to it, because since you've been competing openly and working with JDRF and speaking to people like Johnny Labby and things like that, it sort of made you into a bit of, you know, it's made you into someone that people with type 1 diabetes can look up to and say, well, if he can do it, then I can, you know, understand my body a little bit better and see what it can do too. Do you reckon that keeps you doing it?
Oh, 100%. Thankfully, what you said is true. And if you look at any of my pictures on stage, you will find out that I am wearing my Freestyle Libre, which you're meant to wear on your arm, on my abs. Okay, I'm not recommending anyone to do so, by the way, but I wear it in my abs for people to see it. And people that don't know what it is, they will question, and by that I'm raising awareness about diabetes, because then they will know that I am a diabetic and this relates to diabetes. And for people with diabetes that know what it is, I am doing this for the reason that you said, though, that I want people to understand that if you've got diabetes, you can reach there. If I can do it, you can do it. You can do better with bodybuilding. It is the hardest sport, and you know, but trust me, people don't see that because they didn't go through the prep. But it is definitely the hardest sport out there. And if I can do it in the hardest sport out there, then you can do it in your sport, whatever it is. And there are a lot of other athletes, by the way, that got diabetes. I was surprised to know this. There are sprinters, rugby players. There's a boxer as well. There's a lot of people. But yeah, it is to send that kind of message that you said, and this is what keeps me going. Because if I don't have diabetes, I don't think I would have been a bodybuilder, by the way, because I had no interest. I always wanted to be a footballer. So, but being a diabetic bodybuilder, this is what made me think, okay, I should actually take this route and give it a go. Because already, as I said, probably maybe I'm just genetically gifted in that sense, but I'm diabetic, and I can't see a lot of diabetic bodybuilders out there. So yeah, this is exactly what I'm doing.
Now, you have been encouraging people to get up and get moving during the pandemic. You did a workout for JDRF, didn't you?
So I did all stages. I've got a lot of home workout videos. And the one I did for JDRF members is the beginner one. So anyone can achieve it. On every exercise, I provided two different movements, an easy one and a hard one, so you can manipulate it however you want. But yeah, this anyone can go through. But what I'm doing for the lockdown is just not just home workouts. I'm actually providing advice about nutrition, what can you eat and what can you not eat during that time, how to be active at home, obviously how to exercise and so on, how to adjust your insulin. Because if you want me to go through, how about this? Let's go through step by step in short what you might need to do during the lockdown that we're in, just to have stable blood sugar levels.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
First, most people that are in that lockdown, they are less active. Yeah. Most probably that is the case. So first you have to understand, what does less active mean? What is the point of exercising and how does it help your insulin? Exercising does improve the insulin sensitivity. So that means that your body will use insulin better. So usually it will lower your blood sugar levels. Some exercise will raise it, but usually it should lower your blood sugar levels. Exercise helps improve cholesterol to help protect against problems like heart disease and so on. Okay. And being active overall improves the HbA1c. Now, if we're going to be less active, okay, there are some adjustments that we need to do. We probably, and obviously I'm not giving any medical advice, you need to, you know, check with your carer first, but you probably might consider changing your background insulin dosing. Because as you know, if you're less active throughout the day, your background insulin, if it's at the same level as it was when you were active, you're probably going to go through hyperglycemia. That's one thing that you might want to consider. You might want to consider changing your short-acting insulin, for example. You need to change the dosage. You need to consider your insulin to carb ratio. not sure if everyone knows this, but as someone with diabetes, you need to be able to count carbs and you need to know your insulin to carb ratio. So how many units of insulin do you need for 10 grams of carbs? This could change if you are less active. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand what does it mean being active. As I said before, it's not just about exercising. It could be gardening, tidying, painting, redecorating, cooking, you know, home exercising, of course, all this stuff. You need to understand that. You need to understand the different values of the nutrients. So you need less fatty foods so it doesn't get stored in the body because you're less active, and so on.
All of that together is so much to deal with. But we do it, don't we? We get through it somehow. We just sort of take it in our stride, most of us, and at the end of the day, continue to leave quite happy, successful lives and hopefully achieve some of our goals along the way. But I wonder if you could help me with one of my goals, because I have, like I've mentioned recently, been really getting into exercise. I do something called F45, which is functional 45. I think that's what it's called. That's what it's about. It's all about body weight exercises, and then there's cardio days and resistance days and blah 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 blah. Now, I am able to get really skinny when I do it, but I'm really, really struggling to put on muscle in the right places. Now, I'm making sure I'm in, what's the opposite to deficit? I've got excess calories. I'm making sure that I'm eating more than I'm burning, but still, I don't think I'm putting muscle on in the right way. Now, is that because of my diabetes? Or is it because of me?
No. It's because of the exercise that you do.
So I'm doing too much.
I've never done that. No. So it's the type of exercise that you're doing. So F45, does that include any weights?
Yeah. So there's resistance days and cardio days. But obviously the resistance days nowadays are with me and my 212 kilogram kettlebells. Whereas at the studio, there's barbells and all sorts of stuff.
Okay, so I didn't do the F45 myself, but there are a lot of, you know, like high intensity circuit programs out there. So I can't specifically tell you what you're doing wrong there, but you have to think about, as I said, the calories in versus the calories out. But what is the calories made of? A mistake that everyone does is that they only count the calories, but actually, no, you need to count the macros that makes up the calories. So you need to understand that you've got carbs, you've got protein, you've got fats. Protein and carbs, each gram will provide you with 4 calories. Fats will provide you with 9 calories. Now, if you're consuming all your calories a day from fat or from carbs, of course you're not going to grow, or you're going to gain fat, or your calories is not enough. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Yeah, so it's don't count your calories, make your calories count. Count them all in the way that it does the best for your body. Count your blood sugar too.
Yeah. Oh no. You said it. It's a 24/7 job.
Okay? It is. Yeah. Never,
and it's a chronic thing. Okay. If diabetes, if there is a cure for diabetes, for type 1 diabetes, probably us wouldn't be this motivated. We would actually be looking forward more of curing it. But it's a fact. It's chronic. 24/7 job. You need to understand it. Yes, it makes your life a lot harder, but with, you know, the right education, knowledge, and so on, you will get around it. And again, you're going to be proud if you achieve something that a normal person can achieve.
Absolutely.
Now, back to your point, it probably what you need to do is to look at your diet. You need a calorie surplus, but where is the calorie coming from? Probably you need to up your protein. Look at your exercise. Probably, I don't know, but probably most of your exercises are contributing more into elevating your metabolism and making you burn more calories. Okay. When you want to gain weight, this isn't the best way of doing it. Okay. You want to stay fit. You want to do your cardio, but also you want to lift heavy weights to get bigger, not do circuits.
Right.
Where I'm coming from?
Yeah. I'll take it all away and see what I can come up with. But obviously you're a font of knowledge and you're putting things out all the time that help people with type 1 diabetes get a bit closer to their exercise goal. So where can people find your stuff online?
So obviously I've got my Instagram. I'm most active there, but give me a few days. It was meant to be launched today, actually, but the website crashed for some reason. In a few days, I'm launching a platform called Diabetes Sports Academy. Okay? Diabetes Sports Academy is a platform that's made for people with type 1 and type 2 diabetes to be able to control and manage their blood sugar levels around activities, around physical activity. And I'm not the only person. So basically, it's going to be about uploading articles, videos, webinars, presentations, and stuff about all the topics from the basics to all the way to advanced level. And it's not going to be only me working on it. I've got other personal trainers as well. They have diabetes. I've got a gynecologist for pregnant women. Pregnant women, either diabetic pregnant women or women that get gestational diabetes pregnancy. I've got a GP, family practice GP, working with me, a pharmacist and a nutritionist. So it's like a whole team. We're putting up content for people with diabetes. And it is, I think it's going to help a lot because there is a structure to it. My social media is, just me posting pictures and writing stuff, but this one is structured and I think it is going to be very useful for people. And I'll send you the link once it's up.
Absolutely. I can't wait to dive into it because I think it'll help me because I think I'm at that stage where I sort of know my way around a gym now. I know what each of the exercises do. And now I can use that basic understanding to really target the certain areas that I want to work at. So yes, that resource is going to be very, very helpful to me.
I forgot to mention, we will be providing free workout videos and nutrition plans. So for people that actually don't know their exercise, that's also a bonus. That they, it's like a full comprehensive thing that they can just use instead of, searching about different stuff online. And one thing with diabetes that I noticed, not with diabetes, but generally, is when you have more than two opinions and they both contradict each other and you're just in the middle and you don't know what to do, which one's right and which one's wrong. And this comes a lot in terms of, let's say, when it's counting calories. You'll find a lot of trainers out there, they will only tell you that, only calories is important. And you can have a cheeseburger that is 1,000 calories. That's fine. And this is where, people that are seeking the knowledge, they get confused.
Mm.
So the platform is just comprehensive and it will have everything that people need, to be honest.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to using it and I hope other people take advantage of it too. So that's the Diabetic Sport Academy. That's right, isn't it? And that'll be online very, very soon, if not already when people are listening to this podcast. So thank you very much, Khaled, for talking to me. Great to have you on the All For One podcast. Hopefully hear from you again very, very soon. But final question. Have you been slacking off during the lockdown or are you continuing to work out most days?
I'm actually working out every day. I'm so busy now and I was doing some app crunches.
Were you? All the way through this interview?
But I'll tell you, it's not the same. It's just not the same. I do have some weights at home, but obviously having a gym, having a structured, bench and everything. Like I'm using a footstool as my bench. It doesn't work. It's not the same. I'm gonna say this. It's probably this period that we're in. If people use it positively and efficiently, it's gonna work out very well for them. Because what I'm doing right now is I'm working on the stuff that I lack. So I lack flexibility and mobility, and that's what I'm working on right now. So for people that always go to the gym and hit it hard, think about what you're lacking, and this is the time to do it right now.
That was the incredible Khaled Keshta there on the All For One podcast. Thank you to you at home for listening along. We've got another episode coming next week, so make sure you're subscribed, you're sharing the podcast, and you are leaving a review. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, there'll be an option where you can tell people what you think about it, make use of that, give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it. But that's all from me today. I'll see you in the next one, not too far away. Bye-bye for now.